Today we're going to be talking about a subject that is so critical because people hardly ever talk about it. You know, we talk all the time about generational curses, and I'm going to deal with some of that today. I may be doing this room in two parts because there's so much to do. I don't think I can cover it this morning alone. I may come back and do part two of this same thing tomorrow, because I have to deal with this subject that is so important. Generational blessings. That's right. You heard me. Generational blessings. Glory to God. You know, so, Father, I thank you, Lord, this morning. The entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. I pray that the message this morning, it will bring light into our hearts and give understanding to us, Lord, in the name of Jesus. But before I get into that, let me remind you of our theme scripture in this room. Leviticus chapter 6, verses 12 and 13. And Pearl, you did such a great job the other day posting my scriptures for me. If you would do that for me too, I'd be great. I'd be grateful. That'd be great. This is our theme scripture. We got to get back that fire and that burning of the wood. I mean, putting wood on that fire every morning. Every morning. You know, he said the fire must be burning. It must never be put out. The priest must lay the wood in order every morning. That's what we're doing here. And he must burn, you know, the fat. That fat, oh, come on. God don't want any part of that. Burn it up. Burn all that grease. Burn it away. You know, all that stuff, burn it away. Even as the book of Colossians says, mortify the deeds of the flesh, burn it away and lay the wood in order. You know, repair that altar every morning, put it in order and get some fire. Glory to God. The fire must be burning. It shall never be put out. Thank you, Jesus. Never be put out. You know, so that's our theme scripture. And along the way, we have to deal with the things that prevent that fire, you know. And here's one of them today. This is a powerful one, you know, because people are all wrapped around this generational curses thing. Everywhere I go, I hear it, you know. I've been hearing it forever. But people forget that there are generational blessings. That's what I want to bring this morning. First, let me deal with the generational curses, because that's the one that people are most familiar with. Well, you know, but look, let me tell you something. You know, there is always light and darkness. You know, always. From the beginning, when God will begin to set things in order, he saw the darkness after he made the heavens and earth. Everything was too chaotic. He didn't like any part of that darkness. He commanded the light to shine out of darkness. You know. And he said, let there be light. But did you know that God did not say, and let the darkness be no more? He didn't say that. He left the darkness in place. But he let the light shine out of the darkness. You know. He didn't exactly rebuke the darkness and say, darkness, be no more. If he had said that, there would have been no more darkness. He did not. As a matter of fact, he gave a name to the darkness. He called it night. And he saw that the light was good, and he called it day. And he left both side by side until this day. So look, there's always going to, you take your pick. You know, you can wallow in the generational curses, or you can get inside the wheel of fire in these generational blessings that I want to talk about today. You know, So, but I'm going to bring, you know, I'm going to bring both of them out. There is no doubt that these generational curses have been working. It's like death working. God said to, you know, I mean, God wanted Adam to be in his image. And he made him in his likeness and his image. But Adam couldn't do it. He couldn't. You know, through disobedience, he couldn't do it. In Genesis chapter 5, we're told that Adam brought forth a son in his own image. He didn't bring forth the son in the image of the Christ. You know, God wanted to create a generation of God kind. What we ended up was mankind. Darkness got in there. The devil fouled it all up. And of course, it was just a little disobedience. You know, staying with the word. She didn't, you know. And then here is all the mess that we have. You know, but that darkness has been there. Think of it as a spectrum. You know, there's on this far left, there is darkness and death. On the far right, there is light and life. And most, for the most part, we start out over here on the left. You know, and we can progress towards that light. When we have an encounter with Christ in our lives, and the Holy Spirit comes, we start moving in the right direction, which is towards the right. And that's where light and life are. But it's a journey. It's a lifetime journey. And until you get there, you know, we're being changed from glory to glory. 2 Corinthians 3:18. Changed from glory to glory. And Enoch figured it out. How to keep pressing forward, not take few steps forward and a few steps backward, which is what most of us do. We press in towards that light and that glory, but we can't stay there. You know, the other day I said, stay on the altar. Now we can't. We go in, we come out. We go in, we come out. And God knew that. So he said, okay, come back every morning. Be sure you come back every morning and set it in order again. Every morning, command the womb of the morning. Every morning, set it in order again. You know, so this darkness has been there forever. Even in Matthew chapter 13, the Lord said, look, let them both grow together until the end of the age. So you can't do anything about that. But you can get away from it. You can outpace it. You know, that's right. You know, Enoch outpaced the rate of growth of death and darkness. He was moving towards the light faster than death and darkness could catch up with him. And he outran that thing. Just think of it. Imagine it on that spectrum. It's that race. He outpaced it. You know, and the rate at which he was changing to light was faster than the rate at which death and darkness was trying to get him and pull him back. But death and darkness were getting everybody and pulling them back. And they all died one by one. They started out with 900 and something years. And those years began to fizzle away. As the farther they got away from that light, the shorter and shorter the lifespan became. You know. But one man figured out how to outrun that darkness and death. And be united with that light. And he was gone. Glory to God. That's my goal. I pray, Lord, that, you know, that my path, my race towards that light will outpace death and darkness. And I will be changed faster into light than death can catch up to me. And I will be gone. Glory to God. You know, and there are some folks eventually that will be changed. And I pray, you know, that I will still be alive. And those of us who are alive and remain, you know, death is not the only way to leave this world, folks. That's another, you know, of those things that this doctrine of the generation of curses and things like that brought and corrupted the minds of God's people. You know, you can be changed. Hallelujah. And God put a witness in this Bible of somebody that left the earth without seeing death. And so did Elijah. by the mouth of two or three witnesses, he put it out there. But before we get there, we got to deal with these generational curses. I don't even need to spend a whole lot of time on that today. Everybody knows it. You've heard it. It's being preached to you sideways, upside down, every which way. Well, but I'm going to tell you something today that Christ, here's what it says in the book of Galatians, chapter 3 and verses 13 and 14. Christ, he broke all that. But do you believe that he did it? Why, absolutely. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. There would have been no curses. There would have been no generational curses. There would have been none of these evil passed from generation to generation. None of these evil things in your DNA. None of the quote unquote bad fortune that passed from, you know, generation to generation. Every misstep, every time you're trying to get ahead, you can't. And all of these evil, you know, even marriages, divorce, all these things. You know, some people inherit all these bad genes and bad DNA and so on and so forth. And they just, you know, some men, you know, what they've gone through and everything. And they inherit the same thing and they begin to abusive, you know, to their wives. Because, you know, that's how they grew up. That's, you know, all of these things just pass on to them, you know. But look, shall we continue in that or shall we begin to show that Christ has put an end to that and that people need to be translated from darkness into light? Or shall we continue to wallow in the darkness? Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Be made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Jesus was cursed because of you and me. God put all the curse and everything else upon him. And that one moment in his life, he was never, from the beginning when God said to him, looking at the Son, he said, let us make man in our image. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3 will tell you that Christ was who the Father was talking to because he was there with him from the beginning. The glory that I had with you from the beginning, Jesus said, I have given unto them. He was there with the Father from the beginning. He was the only one that was in the image, the express image of God. Hebrews 1 3 says. And so God said, look, I'm going to make them just like that, just like us. And Romans 8, 29 said, we must come into that likeness of Christ. You know, for those whom God did foreknow, them he also predestinated to become. That's the predestination. It's not a predestination that you be saved or not saved. No, the predestination is that you will become like the Christ. Romans 8 and 29, read it again. Those whom he did foreknow, them he also did predestinate that they might be conformed. Glory to God, to the image of the Christ. Ah, and the Bible says, as we have borne the image of the earthy, you know, we've borne all these generational curses. Now it is time for us to bear the image of the heavenly. Enough of these generational curses already. Come on now. You know, let's move on, you know, to some real power with God. Amen. You know, Christ even has abolished death. People don't believe that. That he has brought immortality and light to light through the gospel. And wallowing in all these curses. But it is necessary for those curses to be broken. I'm not making light of that. There's a lot of people that are still wallowing in that. And that's why a lot of preachers are preaching about it, trying to help the people to get out of it. But how long? How long will you halt between two opinions? You know, if darkness and death be the thing, then be there already and stay there. But if light and life in Christ be the new, then come on out of their darkness and be translated into the kingdom of his glorious Son. And one day, hanging upon that cross, Jesus feared that moment. He feared that moment. And he said, Father, Lord, I know I came for this purpose, but look, I can't go through it. Because he was going to be separated from the Father for you and for me. He was going to be made darkness. He who knew no sin was made sin for us. And the moment that God put all the sins and all the curses of this world upon him, that's right, he did too. When he did that, 2 Corinthians 5:21 tells us, God made Christ to be sin for us. Jesus became sin. He became darkness. And did you know that in 1 John chapter 1 verse 5, the Bible says, God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. So that moment that Jesus became sin, he was darkness. In fact, literally speaking, there was darkness on the face of the earth for 3 hours. Because the light was taken out of the body whom God had prepared for the Christ. The spirit inside of him was God, but the body was the Son of Man. And he lamented and said, oh, Eli, 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 lama sabachthani. Why, oh Lord God, hast thou forsaken me? Yeah, God had to forsake him. God would have no part of that darkness. That's the price that Christ paid for us. That's what he agonized about. That's what he was scared about. But he said, look, nevertheless, let thy will be done. Oh, and he prayed through. He got the victory. In that garden, he was all alone. He got the victory. He prayed through. Sweat of blood coming out of his forehead. And he got the victory. He knew he had to deal with that moment of separation from the Father. But he got the victory because of you and me. I mean, look at all the things he went through. Now, why should we still continue to be wallowing in the things that Christ already paid for? He said, look, it is finished. While he was on the cross, he said it. It's finished. Even before he went to the cross, in John chapter 17, he was praying. Before he even went to the cross, he said, look, I have finished the work that you gave me to do. That's right. When he was talking to the woman at the well, John chapter 4, finally in verse 34, after his disciples came back and all of that, and they said, well, we thought you were hungry. You know, and he said, look, I have meat that you know nothing about. My meat, John chapter 4 and 34, is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Finish it. Don't not leave it halfway done. Finish it. And on the cross, he said, it is finished. Now, if it is finished, then why are we still under it? Well, those that have not been translated from the kingdom of darkness into this light, yeah, they should still be underneath it, but not you. If you have been, if you have encountered the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, as it is written in Titus chapter 2, it says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men. You know, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live in this world, you know, righteously, soberly, and godly while we are waiting for the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Titus 2:11-13. If you have made that encounter, then you need to get away from all these generational curses. I can begin to list all the curses and begin to pray the prayer that's going to break them. But Christ already broke them. You know, Christ already broke all of that. As a matter of fact, he took all the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, the Bible says, and nailed them to the cross. Wow. He did that. In Colossians chapter 2 and verse 14, it says that he blotted out the handwriting of ordinances. You know, any kind of curse that the law brought into the lineage of man, any kind of curse that you have inherited, Christ put an end to it. He blotted out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us. He took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Glory to God. That's Colossians 2 and 14 for you. And I tell you, many people, many people, unintentionally, they've had these things passed on to them. You know, don't let anybody lay hands on you. You don't know who they are. Sometimes people lay hands and they pass an evil spirit onto them. You know, even they try, those of us that grew up in Africa, we tradition, that those traditions are demonic. Many of those traditions, demonic practices, they open a portal, a gateway, you know, for demonic things to pass on from generation to generation and from generation. That's, we know that. I'm not denying that. I have seen, if I want to stay here and tell you demonic things that I've seen, even when I was a young man, and things that God allowed me to cast out, you know, I never mess with the devil. Cast them out is all I do, you know, because Jesus said, cast him out. He didn't say, you know, entertain him. He said, wherever you go, cast out devils. You know, that's what we're supposed to be doing, not entertaining and not, you know, not glorifying this thing. You know, but people have been glorifying it. You know, we will keep preachers, we'll keep preaching these generational curses forever. But no, we need to start talking about the generational blessings. But I had to bring you that comparison today in order for me to get into the generational blessings. Because people are still tied around the generational curses. And they're there. Make no mistake about it. I have seen the power of darkness in operation, but I have seen the power of light. Glory to God. That is able, you know, to break that thing to pieces completely. And every single time he will too. And you will see that glory in your life if thou couldest only believe. So believe with me today. We're going to walk on the coals of fire. Glory to God. He has blotted out the handwriting of ordinances, folks. So don't even go there. It's already done that. You know, this is what you have today. Psalm 16 and verse 6. You now have a new, somebody say new where you are. You know, I have a new spiritual heritage. That's what I have now. You know, I don't need to be wallowing in all those, you know, things anymore. Glory to God. The Lord, I'll start from the previous verse. I was going to read verse 6, but let me start from the previous verse. The Lord is the portion of my inheritance and of my cup. The Lord is my portion, not some curse. You know, that's my portion. You know, and the Lord will maintain my lot. The lines are falling unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. I am not under the curse. I've got the sure mercies of David. I am not no longer under some generational curse, folks. You know, and I can spend 2 hours dealing with those generational curses. But I got to move on to something better. Paul said, behold, I show you a more excellent way. Yes, there are those generational curses that have been holding people back. And some of us that are in this room today, they've been dealing with that. And it's been holding you back. But behold, today, I show you a more excellent way. And that's right. A more excellent way forward. It's called a goodly heritage. Your spiritual heritage in Christ, you know, and we got to break, glory to God, we got to break those agreements. And that's why a lot of preachers and men, powerful men and women of God, They mean well. They try to help the people to break the power of those curses. But how long? How long are we going to do that? Christ has already broken. You know, he has broken every yoke. He has broken every gate. He has cut us under every brass thing. You know, look. When God met Paul, Christ met Paul on the way to Damascus. Saul he was at the time. He said to him, look, I have called you, I'm sending you to the Gentiles, you know, to teach them, you know, how to get from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. You know, people, that's the first step in salvation, folks. Nobody can be saved unless they are moved. It's the work of the Spirit. They are moved from darkness into light. But we are all in darkness. You know, that's the first step. But if we are moved in that direction, why do we keep going back there? You know, and why do we keep accepting all that stuff that the devil still tries to keep putting back on us? Why? You know, isn't it time for us to move on? Huh? Isn't it time? Isn't it time for us to get away from all of that? You know, Paul said, look, he appeared unto me and said to me, I called you to be, you know, to the Gentiles, you know, to show them the light, that they might be delivered from the power of Satan unto the power of God, so that they may receive the inheritance that is in me, along with the rest of the saints, you know, that their eyes may be opened, you know, my goodness, you know, this is what God wants us to do, delivering us from the power of darkness into the power of light. And so let's not remain in darkness. Ladies and gentlemen, you know, if I can pour out my heart to tell you this, I don't know, I will, but look, let's not continue to wallow. The Bible says, look, the dog has returned to his vomit, and the pig or the sow has returned to her wallowing in the mud. And so we don't want to do that. Christ already cleansed us. He already, you know, translated us from darkness into light. Oh, he has translated us from the kingdom of darkness into the glorious liberty that came in Christ. Ah, thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Let me just stop here for a minute and just thank him. Translated from darkness. So let that soak in for a minute. Glory to God. Read it in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13. Let it soak in for a minute. Oh. Christ has delivered us from the power of darkness. Has he delivered you? And he has translated us into the kingdom. God delivered us, translated us to the kingdom of his dear son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of our sins. Look, you know, that's why I said I'm going to do this room in two parts. Because in order for me to get to these generational blessings and for people to accept it, first of all, I have to dismiss this thing that is over people, that they think that they must remain under these curses and these generational curses. I could just jump right into the generational blessings, and I will get there. But I got to deal with this first. You know, deal with it that Christ has delivered us from this thing. Translated us. Glory to God. Colossians 1 and 13 and 14. You know, can you put verse 13 out there too, also, Pearl? 13 and 14. I want both verses. Okay, yeah, I see it. You put it there now. I see it. You know, Christ, you know, has delivered us. This is so key, folks. I mean, I can dwell on just that one topic alone. Just dwell on that alone. And just stay there for several minutes, just so we can see how powerful it is. And it is important, you know, because if we don't get that understanding, we're going to keep going back. I mean, I don't want anybody to leave this room and say, oh, Pastor Yaro, that was a wonderful message, you know, and that's all, you know, and then you go right back into, you know, some other prayer room where they're trying to break the curse from your life, you know. So what's that all about? You know, you go away from this place, there, you know, there must be no concept of that in your mind anymore. That's broken. You know, I mean, all that every day and every year, remembering all those things and so forth. You know, that's why people cannot, you know, get ahead in this walk with God. This walk in God is supposed to take us from darkness to light. And one day when we are fully changed to light, we'll be translated just like Enoch. But to get there, we got to cast off all these garments of you are under this and you are under that and, you know, generational curse of this and generational curse of that. The which I admit there's a lot of those, you know, and I'm not making any light of those. There's a lot of those things there, you know, but I tell you too that Christ has broken that yoke. He's broken it. The yoke, and the Bible says, be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Don't put yourself back in there. Christ has already done it, you know. Don't put yourself back in there. Otherwise, you know, we're going to make the sacrifice of Christ to be vain. I'm going to read to you this powerful scripture in the book of Acts chapter 26. And this is Paul recounting his experience, you know, of what happened to him on the way to Damascus when he was trying to go get letters to persecute the church and to haul them into prison. He says here, you know, from verse 15, the Lord said to him, I am Jesus, whom thou persecuted. This is Acts chapter 26 and verse 15. But rise and stand upon thy feet. I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send you. Now listen to this next verse. This is the process, you know, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins, an inheritance among them which are sanctified by the faith that is in me. That's the process. It starts with, you know, turning people from darkness to light. You know, and if you've already experienced, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. If you've already experienced that, then you should have passed from darkness to light. Let's not go back into the darkness. And don't let anybody put that back on you. But if you are not sure, then you need to get that help and get that thing broken. But look, you don't have to keep coming and they, you know, they keep breaking and casting out the, you know, the generational curses, breaking all the curses. And then you come back again next month and they break all the curses and they come out again and then they break all the curses. It's already happened. You know, Christ broke all these things. And this is the process. You are translated from darkness to light. And if there's anybody in this room or listening later on, if you haven't experienced that, that's the first thing. You must experience a removal of the darkness or you being removed from the darkness and being brought into the kingdom of Christ, which is light, and then delivered from the power of Satan to the power of God. This is the deliverance that people experience, and they go for prayer all the time. When you're delivered today, you come back next week. You need to be delivered again. You come back next month. You need to be delivered again from generational curses. And you come back next year, you need to be delivered again. Look, Christ said, it is finished. It's a one-time thing. It is done. He broke that curse. He broke it completely. Hallelujah. Now, some of you may have had covenants made, you know, on your behalf that you didn't know about. You know, we know that. We understand that. You know, there's many covenants and many things that are made, you know, especially those of us that grew up in Africa, we experienced all these things. You know, all our traditional fathers, you know, they sold their lineage and their clans to their devil. You know, and when they have children, they invoke all these spirits upon them. We know that. You know, and even when they get married, they invoke it on them. When they die, they invoke it. You know, I mean, it's just all over the place. We know that. We understand that. But, you know, enough of that when you are a believer. Enough of that. We need to separate ourselves from the darkness. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. And there's where I'm going to put that in. This is the last of these verses that I'm going to tell you about that. And then I'm going to go on to the generational blessings. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 28 and verse 18. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Excuse me for a minute. I'm going to read that verse to you. And your covenant with death shall be disannulled. Isaiah 28 and verse 18. And your agreement with hell shall not stand. Glory to God. So that's the one prayer that people need to pray. And that's a prayer that deliverance ministers pray for people all the time, to break those curses. But for me, I say to you today, you know, that look, that was broken at the cross. Jesus took care of it. You know, don't put your neck under that yoke anymore. He took care of it. You can do some self-deliverance, folks. Self-deliverance. Take this thing that I'm saying today and do self-deliverance for you. You don't need people who are all over the place praying for you. Isaiah 52 and verse 2 says, you know, snap out of that. You know, it says, shake, arise, and shake thyself from the dust. You, shake yourself. You don't need anybody to shake you. You, arise, and shake yourself from the dust. Loose yourself from the bands of the around your neck, all this yoke of generational curses. Loose yourself from it. Enough already. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Ah, can you post that scripture for me? Isaiah 52 and verse 2. Oh, my goodness. Yes. Lose yourself from the dust. Shake yourself up. You know, bestir yourself in the power of the Lord. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Don't submit your neck under these generational curses anymore. Lose thyself from those bands around your neck. And then let's move on to some good stuff. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Listen, I have some good news. Good news. Good news. There are generational blessings in store for you if you can understand it. You know, the Lord put it smack down upon Abraham. He said, in thy seed shall all nations be blessed. Now, that's generational blessing. So let me go to straight to the beginning. Thy seed, which is Christ. Now, if you are Christ's, then you are blessed already. Right from the beginning. And I'm going to show you how he passed those blessings, you know, down through the ages. How he passed the blessings on and on and on. You know, but first, let me read this in Deuteronomy chapter 11. Let me read, you know, verses 18 to 21. This is what we should be doing now. He says, you should lay these my words in your heart and in your soul. These words that I'm telling you today. You should bind them upon, you know, as a sign upon your hand. Let it be like glasses, frontlets in between your eyes. Teach them to your children. Pass the good things along, not the negative things. Teach them to your children, speaking of them when you sit in the house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. Write them upon the doorposts of your house, and I dare say upon your heart as well, upon your gates and everywhere, that your days may be multiplied and the days of your children. You know, I mean, anytime God's talking about blessings, he's always talking about you and your children. Now, if that's not generational blessing, I don't know what is. That your days may be multiplied and the days of your children in the land in which the Lord swore unto your fathers to give them as the days of heaven upon the earth. So that's where we are starting today. You know, we're going to start at all the blessings that God put upon Abraham. Put on Isaac, transferred to Isaac, transferred to Jacob, and indeed, even actually transferred, you know, to the Christ, because, you know, the scriptures explain to us that seed that was promised that in Abraham's seed will be blessed, that it was actually Christ rather than Isaac. So let's go to the beginning and read it. And see when God begin to bring to pass these blessings for us. You know, let's look at Genesis, when God would appear to Abraham in Genesis, you know, chapter 1. But first, you know, he was Abraham then. He was 90 years old, Genesis 17 and 1. And the Lord appeared to him and said, I am Almighty God. Walk before me. Now that's that walking with God again. And be thou perfect. You know, and he began to tell him, I will make my covenant between me and thee, and I will multiply thee exceedingly. And when Abraham began to fall upon his face as God talked to him, he worshipped. And God said, as for me, my covenant is with thee. Thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name be called Abraham anymore, but thy name shall be Abraham. For a father of nations I have made thee, and I will make thee exceeding fruitful. Listen to this. Don't stop there. And I will make you, you know, of you nations, of thee kings shall come out of thee. Now, he said that, and that's good. But did he stop there? No. Verse 7, and I will establish my covenant between thee, me and thee, and thy seed. Now that's generational. I will put my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations. You talk about a generation of blessings. You know, God put it right there from the beginning. Not only to you, Abraham, but also to all your seed. At that time, he had nobody. But when Isaac came, he would get the same blessing. When Jacob came, he would get the same blessing. And Christ already got it. Because Christ was really that seed. Glory to God. You know, and now you got it in Christ as well. You know, I will put it upon not only between me and thee, but thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And God, he just kept on emphasizing it. Whatever I'm blessing you with, I'm blessing your seed with it as well. Now, we're going to show later, maybe tomorrow, I don't think I'll get to that, the responsibility that the seed must do in order to carry on and remain in the blessing. But the blessing is passed on. I can tell you that. I can prove it from the scriptures, and I will. You know, so that's what the Lord told him. And let's fast forward to Genesis chapter 26. And we're going to read something here that is very important. Genesis chapter 26. You know, let's look at verses 1 to 5. You know, this is the story of Isaac and all of that and so forth. You know, but let me just jump to, you know, the Lord appearing to him. This is Isaac now. You know, and he said unto him, sojourn in this land and I will be with thee. This is verse 3 of Genesis 26. You know, I will be with thee and I will bless thee, for unto thee and to thy seed. Well, first he gave it to Abraham. Now he's giving the same promise to Isaac. Unto thee and to thy seed will I give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. And so God is bringing that connection here. You know, there's a connection. Yeah, I'm giving this to you because I gave it already to your father. You know, that's generational blessing. I gave it to your father. And I'm giving it to you. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven. And I will give unto thy seed. Wow. All these countries. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Wow. Now that seed is Christ. You know, in thy seed. Why? Listen to this. The key is in verse 5. That's the key. Why is the Lord going to do this for Isaac? Is it because of Isaac? No. The Lord said, it is because your father Abraham obeyed my voice. Because your father obeyed my voice and kept my charge and his commandments and so forth, therefore I will bless you. My goodness. You know, people say, oh, you know, the fathers have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge. No. Well, that was then. I say that on the other hand, God can bless the seed also because of the obedience of their father. Why are we always looking at the negative and not the positive? This is what he said, point blank. Because your father obeyed my voice, therefore will I bless you. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. You know, so I'm going to show you these scriptures from scripture to scripture, from scripture to scripture. You arm yourself with it and forget all that nonsense about generational curses. Enough of that. You know, that's the key is written right here in Genesis 26 and verse 5. And what God is referring to is in Genesis 18. You know, God is referring to it in Genesis 18, I think from maybe verse 17 or so. You know, that's right. This is what, you know, the Lord is even talking to here. He said, look, you know, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I shall do? And even when God is going to judge, he's telling Abraham something. You know, he said, look, I know, you know, that Abraham will become a great and mighty nation because God already promised him that. And all the nations of the earth shall be blessing him, for I know him. Now, this is the role of the father. In order to get these generational things passed on, you know, this is God's testimony of Abraham. I say to every father that may be listening, you know, or every parent, you know, what is God's testimony of you? Can God say of you that I know you, that you are going to command your children after you to serve the Lord? Can he say that? You know, I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord. That's right. And because of all of that, God was going to smack the blessing down on them. Glory to God. You know, I'll tell you another thing, you know, that, God did for even, you know, between David and Solomon. You know, between David and Solomon. Let's see how he passed the blessings along. Now, remember, we're talking about generational blessings. So I've got to take my time to bring this because people are not used to this. You know, people, all that people are used to is just, you know, the curse, you know, that came. But, you know, God made a promise that he's going to bless, you know, Abraham, and he passed it on to Isaac. He even passed it on to Jacob and every one of them, you know, and, you know, when God would show, you know, to Abraham the immutability of his counsel, we're told in Hebrews 6 that he confirmed it with an oath, you know, and he swear, because we're God, you know, he knows that just like, you know, God, when God's dealing with men, sometimes he, you know, try to do things so that they can understand. Men generally make an oath. And when they, you know, to settle all things, you know, every strife settled by oath and so on, you know, so, and God also willing to, you know, confirm that he also wanted to make an oath. And generally, you know, to make an oath, you have to swear by somebody that's greater than yourself. You know, that's what he says in Hebrews chapter 6, you know, and verse 16, you know, so men swear by the greater, and an oath is a confirmation to them of all strife. So God also willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs. Now, listen, the heirs. Heirs is not just, you know, one generation. The heirs of the promise of immutability of his counsel, he confirmed it by an oath. But how did he do it? Well, he looked up and down, trying to find somebody greater than himself that he could swear by. But because he found nobody, he swore by himself. You know, you can read that in verse 13. So God made promise to Abraham because he could swear by no greater. He swore by himself and saying, surely blessing, I will bless thee and will multiply thee. Now, multiply means your seed after you. You can't multiply. I mean, one person, you know, one times one is always one. There's no way that it can be more than that, you know. So, but when you multiply the person, you split that off. You know, and then it begins to multiply, and then the blessing transfers, you know, across. Oh, thank you, Jesus. So let's look at some of the things that God did here between David, even, and Solomon. There's some things that passed along there. It's called the sure mercies of David. 2 Samuel chapter 7. Let me read from perhaps about verse 12 or so. You know, 2 Samuel. Let's pick up this story. There's a lot of things that happened in the Old Testament that are written for our examples so that we can learn from them. It's what the Bible says, you know. But listen, this is what, you know, look at what happened to, you know, David here, what God will say to him. I'm looking for verse 12. Okay, let me say here. All right, it says, and when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, you know, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. I mean, God is talking to David, but he's talking about his seed already. He shall build me an house, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. You know, now, that promise was given first to David. Now, God's going to transfer it, you know, for David's sake. And transfer it now to Solomon. He said, look, I will be his father, and he will be my son. And if he commit iniquity, which God knew he was going to do, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of chain, but my mercy shall not depart from him because of you. That's exactly right. God is not even talking to Solomon here. He's talking to David about Solomon. That's a generational blessing that is being passed along. My mercy shall not depart away from him. And, you know, Solomon did some things, crazy stuff, that his mercy and God's mercy would have pulled his mercy, just like he pulled it from Saul. But God already promised David that he wasn't going to do it. God said, look, my mercy will not depart from him, and I will not take it from him like I took it from Saul. Glory to God. My goodness. Do you think that God can bless your children because of your own faithfulness? Absolutely. Why not? You know, why is it only, you know, eating of sour grapes that needs to make the children's teeth set on edge? Why can't these blessings be passed along? Just like we are seeing here, God can pass those blessings along, and he did, you know. So that's that. Now let's read 1 Kings chapter 9. Let's read from maybe verse 5 or so. 1 Kings chapter 9, maybe verse 4. Let me see here. 1 Kings chapter 9. Okay, so this is God talking to Solomon now, okay? And the Lord said unto him, I'll start at verse 3. I have heard thy prayer and thy supplication. You know, you remember he prayed an incredible prayer when they opened the temple and so on, the previous chapter. You know, and thy supplication which thou hast made before me. And I have hallowed this house which thou hast built to put my name there forever, and my eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. Now, this is the key. This is how it must pass along. When it passed along, this is what the new generation must also do. And just because it passed along, they have a responsibility as well. But it will pass along. Now, if thou will walk before me as David thy father did, in the integrity of his heart and his uprightness, to do all that I have commanded thee, if you do it just like your father did, with the integrity of your own heart and your own uprightness, to do according to all that I commanded thee to do, and to keep all my statutes and my judgments, then I will keep that promise that I made to your father concerning you, and I will establish the throne of thy kingdom upon Israel forever, even as I promised to David your father. You can see how God is transferring the generational promises and blessings over. First, it was Abraham to Isaac to Jacob. Now it is David to Solomon and so on. And he's just passing it along. You know, but of course, there's a warning. Now, if you should turn from following me, you or your children, you know, this is how people break the breach. They breach God's generational blessings if they do not follow on to know the Lord. Now, if they don't follow on to know the Lord and they don't keep my commandments and my statutes, and then they go and serve other gods and worship them or follow the spirit of their age, you know, then of course said I'll cut them off. You know, so, but God has a plan to put them there. Listen to Psalm 112, verses 1 to 3, and see how God put the blessing out there right in front of us for the seed of those that trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man. He said, praise ye the Lord. Psalm 112, verse 1. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighted greatly in his commandments. Now, what kind of blessing will he get? His seed. Now, the man is the one that is faithful, but God is now blessing his seed. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. Now, I'm bringing some promises here that you can begin to latch on to for your own generations. First of all, we've broken the continuity of the curses from the, you know, generations beyond you to you. Why should I be bugged with what somebody else did? I'm in Christ now. You know, Jesus had turned that upside down. He had put the handwriting ordinances against the cross. So now, this is a new day. But here are the blessings of those who come into Christ in the new day. Not only will you be blessed, we'll pass it on to your generations after you. They themselves, in their turn, must follow the ways of God, but it will pass to them. You know, his seed shall be mighty upon the earth. the generation of the righteous and the upright shall be blessed. Are you kidding me? Not cursed. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. You know, wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. You know, let's read also Psalm 128. I'm going to read verses, perhaps the first four verses. Let me see if I can find that. Psalm 128. Okay. Verse 1. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. Well, there are blessings for you. It's not just your children that will be blessed. You yourself will be blessed. Why? For thou shalt eat the labor of your house, I mean your hands, and happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. So that's, you know, you get your own blessing. And even your wife shall be blessed. Your wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of the house. You know, thy children also will be blessed. They'll be flourishing like olive plants around your table. You know, thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. Now, this blessing is conferred automatically to his children because of the righteousness of the person. But the blessing, in order for the blessing to remain, that children must themselves walk in the ways of God. There are some lessons in the lessons of Solomon. You can read 1 Kings chapter 11. And Solomon didn't follow. And it was a shame, you know, because God really loved this Solomon man. You know, just like he loved David. He loved him, but he didn't follow. You know, and if you read the story in 1 Kings chapter 11, verses 1 to 13, I won't read it all, but, you know, Bible says, you know, Solomon loved many strange women, you know, and all that. You know, so I'm not going to go into all that, but let's look at verse 8. Solomon, in verse 6, Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord. And he went not fully after the Lord as did his father David. You know, so even though God promised, but God put a condition there, you know, he said, look, if you follow after me like your father did, then the sure mercies of David, you got it. But Solomon did not, unfortunately. He followed all kinds of, you know, weird stuff, you know, married all kinds of loves, all kinds of strange women that brought in gods from all kinds of places. And he, you know, he got a whoring after those gods because he listened to his wife. He did all the strange things, you know. Verse 8 says, and likewise did he for all his strange wives. He burnt incense to their gods. My goodness. And the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which appeared unto him twice. And I commanded him concerning this thing that he should not go after other gods, but he kept not that which the Lord commanded. Can you imagine that? I mean, how God favored this man, you know, told him that because of your dad, I would do all kinds of things. Appeared to him twice, told him, ask me anything, I will give it to you. And he blessed him with incredible knowledge and wisdom and riches beyond anything. But yet, you know, that's why the Lord said, look, stay away from those, you know, women from those strange lands. But he didn't, because they are going to corrupt your mind. And they did, you know. But listen, here's what the Lord said to him. This is very key. You know, he said, in verse 11, wherefore the Lord said unto Solomon, for as much as this is done of thee, and thou hast not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from you. Now, that's a breach of promise. Glory to God. You know, you say, can God breach his promise? Well, absolutely, if you don't keep his covenant. You know, we read that already in Numbers 14 and verses 34 and so on. You know, the people that didn't sanctify the Lord in their hearts, the Lord said, you will know the breach of my promise. You know, so it's not God that's breaking the promise, but the promise was conditional. And if you don't keep that condition, well, the generational blessings are also conditional. Yes, they will pass on to the following generation. And yes, we must teach them the ways of the Lord, but they also have a responsibility to carry on the ways of the Lord. He said, I will rent the kingdom away from you. You know, that's right. I will rent in the kingdom, which I commanded thee. I will surely rent the kingdom from thee, and I will give it to thy servant. Oh, my goodness. Notwithstanding, in thy days, I will not do it for David, my father, your father's sake. You see, God is still remembering the generational blessing, but it's not going to remain for very long because the son is not walking in the ways of the father that walked after the Lord. So there is a responsibility there. But God said, well, because of the, for the sake of David, your father, you know, I will, you know, he said, look, notwithstanding in thy days, I will not do it for David, thy father's sake, but I will rend it out of the hand of thy son. So God prolonged it. And, you know, God made promise to David concerning his son, Solomon. And though, because Solomon did not follow, he, you know, he's going to lose it. But he said, look, just for David's sake, I'm going to let you keep it. But then when your son comes along, I'm going to break it. And then he broke it and rent the kingdom out of their hands. You know, the kingdom of Israel split into two and all that story. You know, so, and it's very key, very, very important. But still, he said, for your father's sake, I will prolong or delay the judgment. Wow. The father's sake. So let's read some scriptures here. I want to give you some scriptures before we pray. You know, I want to give you some blessings that God has put upon our children. Not only for you, but also for your children. Even on the day of Pentecost, after Peter stood up and preached that incredible sermon that he preached, and the people were pricked in their hearts and say, what must we do to be saved? Peter said, look, repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For this promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. So God doesn't only deal with one person. He will deal with you and your children. You know, and if you believe the Lord in your heart, you can pass the, you know, blessings on to your children. But first, you must retain the blessing. You cannot give what you don't have. You must also get away from the curse and the yoke of generational curses and then walk in the generational blessings. And you can pass it on to your children. But also, you must instruct them to follow the ways of the Lord or they will lose it. But it will pass on to them. Now, whether they keep it or not, that's a different story. But it will pass on to them. Now, let's read some of these things. I've already read for you Psalm 112. You know, let's read Psalm 115, verses 14 to 15. It says, look, and the Lord will increase you more and more, you and your children. That's right. You know, so we see that God is oftentimes dealing not only with us, he's also dealing with our children. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. And you are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Isaiah 49. Let me bring out some point blank promises, not only for you, but for your children. Isaiah 49 and verse 45. You know, this is God, you know, making some promises even for us and our children. Here's what he said in Isaiah 49 and verse 25. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. He said, but thus saith the Lord. Well, let me read from verse 24 for some context. Shall the prey be taken from the mighty or the lawful captive delivered? Well, okay. People who lawfully, who put their heads under this generational curse, they are captive at their own will because they choose to be there, so choose to stay there, so they are captives. But here is what the Lord is saying. Even when the devil thinks he's got that, you know, wrapped around all of that, the Lord said, but thus saith the Lord, even the mighty, the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. For I will contend with him that contended with thee, and I will save thy children. That means break those generational curses. I will save your children. He put it point blank out there. You know, I'm going to go through some promises real quick because I want to get to some prayer here. Luke chapter 1 and verse 50. You know, marvelous story here of, you know, what happened, you know, in the early days when the Lord was going to visit Mary and so forth, you know. And here's what he said. You know, Bible says that, let me start from verse 46. And Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he had regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name." And listen, this is the verse where I'm going, verse 50. "And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation." That's how he passes his mercy along from generation to generation. You know, even in Acts chapter 16, verse 31, the jailer, you know, who had Paul and Silas in prison after the Holy Ghost bust them out of there with the breaking the jail and everything like that. And they said to him, "What shall we do?" You know, the man said, "Look, what shall I do to be saved?" And they said to him, "Thou shalt be saved." You know, said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou shalt be saved and thy house." That's Acts chapter 16 and verse 21. Now, here are some more promises. You know, Proverbs 11 and verse 21. You know, for God saying point blank, because of you, how he's going to deliver your children. Now, some of you need to begin to claim these promises already as I'm bringing them out. You know, Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 21. I know I'm going through this very quickly, but I'm trying to do that. You know, it says, "Though hand join in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished." We know that. "But the seed of the righteous shall be delivered." You know, so God has a soft spot for the righteous, you know, and he will, you know, have mercy on their seed. Regardless, he will have mercy on them, you know. So the time that we spend praying for our children will not be lost. You know, the time that you even look for the prodigal sons among your children, they will come back. There's a point blank promise for that. I'm going to read it to you now. Jeremiah 31, verses 16 and 17. Jeremiah 31, verses 16 and 17. Here's what it says. It said, "Thus saith the Lord, refrain thy voice from weeping and thine eyes from tears, for thy work," and I put in parentheses for myself, "thy work over your children shall be rewarded, saith the Lord. And they shall come again from the land of the enemy." I don't care whether they wandered away. I don't care whether they, you know, wallowing in some place where they shouldn't be. They will come again. Hallelujah. "And there is hope in thy end, said the Lord, that thy children shall come again to their own border." So that's a point blank promise. If you have any teenage children or anything like that, that, you know, not walking in the way that they should go, hopefully you've done your due diligence praying over them, teaching them the way of the Lord, you know, God will bring it to their remembrance. "Train your child," Proverbs 26, 22 and 6, "in the way they should go, you know, and they will not depart from me." Even if they depart, here is the promise that God will bring them back. He will bring them back. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's read, you know, I think I already read this, but I didn't read this verse out of it. Genesis, I'm going to go back and read Genesis 26 and verse 24. Let me read that very quickly. Genesis 26 and 24. That's right. You know, so I wanted to point out this thing here that the Lord said, you know, "I will bless." I mean, where am I? Okay, Genesis 26 and 24. "And the Lord appeared to him the same night and said, I am the God of thy father, Abraham. Fear not, I am with thee, and I will bless thee, and I will multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake." Wow. You know, I cannot say enough of that. You know, how that God, you know, blessed even Isaac because of his father Abraham. Now, let's read, I think I've already read 1 Kings 11. You know, let's read Isaiah 54 and verse 13. There's some promises here. Isaiah 54 and verse 13. You know, God promised here that he would even teach our children. You know, but we must do our part. You know, Isaiah 54 and verse 13. And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. Wow. Isn't that wonderful? You know, so, you know, take that any which way you want. God, you know, you can have peace and pass it on to your children, you know, but you must give them a charge. You know, just like David charged Solomon and these people charged their, you know, children after them. And Abraham charged all his children to follow the Lord. We must always give them a charge to follow the Lord. You know, and it's their responsibility to follow the Lord. Isaiah 44 and verse 3. Let me read this quickly and then we're going to pray. Isaiah 44 and verse 3. It says here, for I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. That's good. But he goes further to say, I will pour my spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thy offspring. And they, now those are your children and your offspring, they shall spring up as among the grass, as willows by the water courses. So God will bless your seed. He will bless you. There are some stories in the Bible. I'm not going to read it. I'm just going to mention it, but you know the stories. The story of Noah and his family. It was actually Noah that found favor with God. It wasn't his family at all. But Noah, he walked with God. Not exactly as closely as Enoch did, but he walked with God. And, you know, he got some power too. He was able to command all those animals and things like that. You know, but he found favor. And because of him, his entire household was saved. God would destroy the whole world at that time, but save Noah and his house. Praise God. You know, so even the story of Lot, when God would send angels to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, God had mercy upon Lot and his household. And even Lot, God had mercy upon him because of Abraham. You know, even when Lot was delaying, when the angel said, get out of here. I can't do anything until you leave. I got to destroy this place. And he was delaying. The angel pulled him by hand, got him out of there. Because he had, you know, remembrance of God's mercy upon him because of Abraham. All these things, you know. So God saved his house. Of course, his wife looked back. You know, and we know what happened to her. Don't look back. You know, don't look back. Let's not look back to all these generational curses. Let's move forward, you know, to the new things that God is telling us today. Luke chapter 17 and verse 30 says, remember Lot's wife. Remember, there's a story in there, but he just dropped it like that. You know, when it is time for you to flee for your life, flee for your life. Don't keep looking back. You know, today I'm saying flee from all these generational curses and don't keep looking back. Because remember Lot's wife. Don't keep looking back. Let's look forward. Glory to God. Well, that is my charge to us this morning. You know, I think I probably covered it, thought I may not have covered it or covered it enough, but I think I did. You know, so now we are going to, you know, if I, you know, let me do this the traditional way. You know, I'm going to invite people to speak in a minute. But, you know, let me first of all acknowledge everyone that I see in the room. Sister VL. God bless you. All the women and men of God that I recognize in the room, I want to acknowledge every one of you. God bless you. I wanted you to come up. I don't know if you couldn't. You know, Brother Elisha, God bless you. I acknowledge you. Thank you so much for being there. Brother Charles, I acknowledge you. I mean, these are powerful men and women of God. acknowledge all of you. Sister Dana, Sister Grace, oh, God bless you. Always here. Brother Kyle, God bless you. And Brother Jaira, oh, good to see you, man of God. I love every one of you. Kolak, Brother Kolakpo, God bless you for being here. You know, I don't know if this is your, first time in our room here, Brother Kolakpo, but good to see you. Your wife is always here. That's Sister Grace, you know, lovely lady, powerful, powerful lady of God, always in these rooms with us. You know, thank you, Brother Kolakpo, for being here. Esosa, you know, I appreciate you. Patricia, I appreciate you. Joseph and Sophia, everyone that's in the room. And of course, Sister Alexis, oh, thank you for being here. You know, you've been here in these rooms since we started. And I go to those that are on stage, you know, and if you are still in the listening lounge, and you want to come, you know, feel free to come. We want to hear from you. And when we start these declarations, come too, because, you know, you need to make your voice to be heard, you know. And I want to appreciate those that are on stage. Sister Maggie, good to see you. Sister Pearl, you know, I think I should confer upon you the title of secretary of the room. You've been doing such an awesome job just posting those scriptures for me. I thank you so much. God bless you, Sister Lorna. Thank you for being here. Sister Buki, Sister Julia, God bless you. And of course, the lovely Lady Ebon, that's my queen. You know, she's always there with me. She had to drop and go. She triple duty this morning she had. She had another prayer room and yet another prayer room. So she's juggling all of them. You know, and thank you for being here. So I just want to appreciate everybody. And I see that Sister Rachel, I saw something that flashed across. Sister Rachel, God bless you, Rachel. I do all the way from Nigeria. God bless you for joining. Powerful, powerful declaration this morning. So, you know, I'm going to do this, you know, slightly differently. But first, I wanted to acknowledge everybody, you know, so, and I did. And for those who are listening, to the replays, I acknowledge you as well. Listen, you know, there is a process to doing things the right way. You know, we read it already in Acts chapter 26. First, people must be taken out of darkness into light. They must be turned from the power of God. I mean, Satan to the power of God. You know, and that's the process of getting saved. But once they are saved, that means they are no longer in darkness. So let's, enough of that, you know. So we are now experiencing blessings from God. Jesus Christ has nailed all that to the cross. He has given us he has translated us. God has translated us from the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of his dear son. We've read all those scriptures today. They are posted also in the chat room. So, but we will pray. You know, the prayer that I'm going to pray is simply, you know, the scripture that we read out of Isaiah 28. You know, we're just going to say the covenant of death will be disannulled and the agreement with hell shall not stand. That's it. You know. I'm just going to make a simple declaration. And look, there are some of you that, you know, stuff, you may be a victim of these so-called generational curses, but today I say no more. That's right. You know, I say no more. You know, you had, you know, demonic hands laid on you. You had things happening to you. You've had, you know, people giving you something, you know, to take or to drink or to eat. They were, you know, sanctified to devils and things like that. And all kinds of things passed on through the generations. I mean, things chasing you, your dreams, you're doing all of these things and so forth. Enough already. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Let's put an end to that stuff. Now, if you need to turn your life over, the seat of your heart, if you need to turn that over to Christ for him to be king, yeah, that's the first step. We need to do that. You know, but once you've done that, you know, and I'll give an opportunity for anybody in this room or listening later on, you know, make that commitment today to the Lord. That's it. You know, and that's the only way you're going to get this behind you. and let it stay behind you, you know, and so forth, you know. So we need to make that commitment. Once you've made that commitment, you need understanding, because my people perish for lack of knowledge. You know, devil uses this thing, pull people over the wool over their eyes, you know, and so forth. Yes, all these powers are there. We acknowledge them and so forth. But Numbers 23 and 23 says, there shall be no enchantment against Jacob or any divination against Israel. So look, enchantments are there, but they're not going to work against you. Not anymore. Divinations are there, but they're not going to work against you. Not anymore. But if you submit your neck to those things, then they will work against you. You know, John, in John chapter 3, when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, he said, look, and God told me this thing when I was a young man, just coming up in faith. And I got a hold of this scripture that says, look, you know, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and no man can tell where it's going or coming until it's gone. So is everyone that's born of the Spirit of God, you know, and that's it. The devil cannot divine your life because you are born of the Spirit of God. But if you go submit yourself to them, you go submit to a palm reader, or you go submit to some negative thing, or you go let some, you know, demonic person lay hands on you, then of course, then they begin to put all kinds of things upon you. But, you know, let us submit ourselves to the Lord. You know, the wind blows where it listeth, and the devil cannot divine it. John chapter 3 and verse 8. The wind bloweth where it listeth. You hear the sound, but you can't tell where it's coming or going. So is everyone that's born of the Spirit of God. They can't tell your direction or your movement because you are born of the Spirit of God. You know, but if you go submit, you know, I know of stories of people that have been had difficulties and they are pregnant. They go and submit to all these evil powers. And then the next thing you know, you know, or when they are looking for pregnancy, they go and submit to these evil powers. And the next thing they know, you know, they're giving birth to a demonic spirit rather than a seed of God. You know, instead of having holy seed, they're bringing forth demonic spirit and all kinds of weird stuff, you know, or something happens to that child or whatever, you know, and so on. So look, enough of that. You know, let's break all that. You know, let's break all that. You can do self-deliverance today, Isaiah 52 and 2. And tomorrow, and the next day, and after that. And anytime the devil brings, you know, this thing back to your mind, you don't need to go look for some preacher, some prophet, some apostle, some pastor to tell it to you. God already told it to you. I told it to you today. And you have the power already. You know, it's called snap out of it yourself. Isaiah 52 and verse 2. Shake yourself from that dust. Loose yourself from the bands around your neck. So I am going to pray. When I pray, first break for once and for all the covenant of death and the agreement with hell. That's it. Then after that, I will pause for people to give their comments, and then we're going to release the generational blessings. So that's the way in which I'm going to do it. So first, let me pray. You know, I'm going to pray the prayer of breaking the covenant, because people expect this prayer, so that's why I'm just going to do it. But to me, I know it's already broken. You just need that knowledge, you know. So I'm going to pray the prayer of breaking the covenant of hell and the agreement with death. It shall not stand. Somebody say amen. It shall not stand. It shall not stand. It shall. I don't care, you know what, even when it was, if it was done on your behalf without your knowledge, it still will not stand. That's right. It will not stand. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. We read that already in Isaiah chapter 28. And I'm going to use that to just pray for a minute. And after that prayer, I will release the mic to people to give their comment on what we've heard before we go forth into the declaring the generational blessings. Let me say it again. Your covenant with death, whether you did it knowingly or unknowingly, or whether it was done on your behalf knowingly. And in Africa, you know, people take your photo and go do a covenant with hell or death. They can take, you know, something that came from your skin or your body and so forth. They can use all kinds of weird stuff. You know, they can do all these things. You know, they can take a match, they can snuff it out and call your name over it. You know, I know about all these things. But ladies and gentlemen, you know, even the family that I grew up, I had one person in that family trying to do that to me. But it never worked. Even when I didn't even know the Lord. It never worked. You know, because, you know, we had this splinter family from a different, you know, different mother and all that stuff and so on. And there was a time the devil came up on one of them and was trying to do some things to some of us. It never worked. And I didn't even know the Lord strongly at that time, you know, let alone now that I've known the Lord. My goodness, you know, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Everyone that gathers together against you shall fall for thy sake. That's thus saith the living God. Hallelujah. You know, so never mind all these things. There shall be no enchantment or divination that will work against you. But don't put your, don't go and submit to them. Then it will work if you submit to them. But if you don't submit to them, if you are walking in the light, darkness cannot comprehend your ways. They cannot know where you're going or coming. They cannot snuff out your light. You know, until one time I was praying for somebody, looking, and God is showing me some things, you know, some hands trying to snuff out some flame, you know. No, the enemy can't do that. You know, hallelujah. And we've been talking about some fire in this room. That devil cannot snuff out your fire. Well, he has some tactics, attack your prayer life and so on, you know. And, you know, once you think that you are, you know, under this curse and so on, then you finished. So let's get it with that. Father, in the name of Jesus, we want to break this agreement with hell. Glory to God. Covenant with death, we break it. We disannul it in the name of Jesus. The agreement with hell shall not stand. We disannul it in the name of Jesus, whether knowingly or unknowingly. Whether they gave you something to eat or not. Whether they forced you, whether they laid hands on you at birth, whether they consecrated you, you know, during your marriage or anything. Doesn't matter. You know, we break it in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Now, that being said, you know, we must move on. You know, we must move on. Jesus told a story. He said, look, when a strong man keeps his goods, he thinks he's at peace. You know, but when a stronger than he shall come upon him, you know, there's a process. First, you must bind the strong man. That's what I've done this morning. And then you will spoil his goods. That's called spoiling the spoiler. You know, praise God. Hallelujah. You know, so we're spoiling the spoiler this morning. Glory to God. Father, thank you for liberty for your people. He said, God has set you free. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Hallelujah. Father, we break all of that. We cover everyone in this room with the blood of Jesus Christ, the blood of the everlasting covenant. I cover everyone with Colossians 1 and 13, that God has taken us from the kingdom of darkness and has translated us unto the glorious kingdom of his Son, Jesus Christ. I cover everyone with Colossians 2 and 14, that Christ has taken the handwriting of ordinances and all of the generational curses, and he had nailed them to the cross, made an open shoulder and spoiled principalities and powers. I cover everyone with Galatians 3, 13 and 14, that Christ was made a curse for us. He took upon him all the curses that could have been upon us. Hallelujah. Because curse is everyone that hangeth upon the tree. I cover everyone today with 2 Corinthians 5 and 21 that says that Jesus Christ was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Thank you, Jesus. And I cover everyone because Jesus, hanging upon the cross, he said, it is finished. Hallelujah. It is finished. I am come to do thy will, O God. In the volume of the book, it is written of me, a body thou hast prepared for me. And he took upon him that body, all our sins, all the handwriting of ordinances, all the curses. He nailed them to the cross. And he said, I am Alpha and Omega. Glory to God. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. and I have the keys of hell and death. I've got all of these things that devil used to put upon you in curses and all of these things. Whoop the devil from pillar to post and got all of that from him. He's pulling. He made principalities and powers to bow down. Glory to God. He trampled over them. He crushed the head of the devil. Hallelujah. Now we can walk in victory and in newness of life. Let us not be entangled again. Don't look back. Remember Lot's wife. Don't keep looking back to all that nonsense. God has set you free. Hallelujah. We have liberty as the sons of God. Thank you, Jesus. Now, you must go with the word of God. You know, go with the word of God. Go with the word of God. Go with the word of God. God said to them, we covered this 3 days or so ago, as thou hast spoken in my ears, so will I do to you. You know, don't say anything negative. You know, speak the positive things so that God will continue to do those things to you. Here's what you need to say today. And I'm going to declare that in a minute after I let people speak. You know, we read it in Psalm 16 and verse 6. That's the one you need to be speaking to yourself. You know, I now have a new spiritual heritage. That's right. I'm in the lineage of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the Christ himself. I'm in the lineage of blessing. You know, blessing, I will bless thee, multiply, I will bless thee, you know, and so forth. I'm in that lineage. The blessing has passed on to me because of the sure mercies of David. I have a goodly heritage. Praise the Lord. God bless everyone.